chicken? Of course not. Do you think I'd let a chicken do that to me? That's just a loud-mouthed snook.
Welcome to the Loudmouth Schnooks podcast. I'm Elias McMillan. You can follow me on Twitter at Elias McMillan and at my blog site, eliasmcmillanblog.wordpress.com. This episode of Loudmouth Schnooks will be posted later at soundcloud.com/Elias McMillan Pod. It's been a while. I haven't done an episode since August. Wow. I feel like back then I was filled with such optimism towards this NFL football season. And a few months later, I feel the opposite. And but I'm not going to, you know, shy away from my disappointment. And, you know, this year in 2020, you know, the big thing that I was looking forward to was my favorite football team, the Dallas Cowboys, playing against the hometown team that most people I know, most, you know, friends that I have, and most, you know, some people in my family are, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers fans. So this game, this matchup has always been a big deal in my life. And when I was in college, this one kid I knew, he used to always jab me about it, but he's a good friend of mine, and I'm going to have him on the show today. I saw him at a wedding in September, and he said he would do this, and so here we are. Robert Buckles, resident Steeler fan, and I'm sure he's going to just bask on this, or what has happened so far in this NFL season. Hi, what's up? What's up, Robert?
Oh, wow. Hello, Elias. Thank you for having me. It's good to talk with Elias, as it would be. My outlook on the season is slightly different than yours so far.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's, you know, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now real quick to just talk about what the Steelers are going through right now, being undefeated. That doesn't necessarily mean they're the best team in the NFL, but, you know, a 6-0, you're standing at the top right now. And, you know, I know that that may not mean much in December, but you got to be feeling pretty good about them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as you obviously say, 6-0, it's good as a start you can have through six games. And I would say slightly ahead of where I expected them to be. Their early season schedule a little easier, especially compared to some teams, say like the Houston Texans, who had just had a murderer's row out of the gate for them. But getting Ben Roethlisberger back, that of course was the big thing coming into the season. Yeah, you expected him to be good. At least I did. I know there were plenty of people out there that had some doubts, especially, you know, the injuries coming off of the elbow surgery, of course, on his throwing arm. I can understand some skepticism about how is he going to come back. You know, the deep ball, which has been a specialty of his throughout his career, how is that going to be? I was surprised that that Steelers, you know, of course, just barely missed out on the playoffs last year. Still with everything, with Ben being out, with some of the other injuries that they had, with having to deal with Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges, kind of the back and forth that they had with those quarterbacks last year. I still think they probably should have made the playoffs. They probably wouldn't have done much once they got into them, but they probably at least should have made them. Again, not kind of that late season collapse that they had. I expected the offense to be better with Ben Roethlisberger's return. And but the thing I would say I'm surprised at from them is how balanced the offense is. about the last 5-6 years with Ben at the helm, it's been a very pass-heavy team, namely to Antonio Brown, of course, who's no longer with the team. And kind of side note, it kind of sucks to see him with other teams, but...
I know you really liked him.
He was such a treat to watch. I mean, the guy that was a 6th-round pick, you know, that really made himself into one of the best, if not the best receivers in the NFL, that just, you know, the kind of the smaller guy on the smaller side, probably about 6 feet, and he would just, if you threw it to him, he was catching it, one way or the other. Just the gaudy numbers that he put up year after year. And then you had the complimentary and Le'Veon Bell running the ball. Of course, both those guys not with the team anymore. So instead of, the Steelers kind of have gone with a kind of more quantity approach to their replacement as opposed to the quality of just those two players who, again, very good players. But the business side of things really kind of ran into it. And along with the other personnel stuff, but here nor there, they're both gone away from the Steelers now. But what's there now? James Conner, of course, leading the running attack. But I was just looking at the numbers, kind of preparing for this today, and really, you had the sense watching them that they are a, it's a more rounded attack, not just like the one superstar in the backfield and the receiving. That having Juju Smith-Schuster had a down year last year with Ben out, you had a lot of people doubting him coming into this year, expecting what is he going to do? Had those really 2 good years his first, and then of course last year again just a really down season without Ben throwing him the ball. He does lead the team in receptions, but only at 32. And then you have Deontay Johnson, who came on last year as a rookie, and made some plays with Devlin Hodges, Mason Rudolph throwing on the ball. So you were kind of excited to see what he did. James Washington, who's in his second, third year now. Of course, then they didn't have a first round pick this past year, and then. A really curious move, which I thought at the time, I think a lot of Steelers fans did, that they drafted a Steeler receiver with their first pick in the second round, Chase Claypool. And you think, they already have Juju, they have Washington, they have Deontay Johnson. That's 3 solid receivers right there. That at least I think a lot of people on the team would agree that is this really your biggest need that you have? And then he comes in, he's kind of the big physical receiver, the big tall receiver that Ben's always kind of liked to have in his arsenal, just starting off with Plaxico Burress way back in his rookie year, back in 2004. But he comes in, as our contributor already. But again, like I said, with Juju's only leading the team 32 receptions. But you have 4 or 5 receivers, including James Conner himself, that are in like the 15 to 20 catch range already. Eric Ebron, who they signed as a free agent from Indianapolis, that's a guy that they've been kind of looking to fill that kind of void at tight end receiving wise since Heath Miller retired. And again, gaudy numbers from him. Only has. Again, he's in kind of that 15 to 20 catch range, just a single TD on the year. But again, you can just see that Ben is really spreading the ball around. You're not having like the one real big go-to guy that he had in Antonio Brown. Well, now he's spreading the ball around. Like 2 weeks ago, James Washington has a touchdown catch. Last week, he only gets the ball thrown at him once, and he didn't catch it. But still, the Steelers, that doesn't really hamper them offensively, at least in the first half last week at Tennessee. They come out firing, put up 24 points there in the first half. So that's what you really that's what I really like so far offensively. It's just really well-rounded. James Conner, of course, leading the rushing attack, but, Benny Snell is contributing. They want to get Anthony McFarland, who would have been their third or fourth round pick out of Maryland. They've gotten him involved some. Ray McLeod, kind of guy that's more made the splash as a kick returner. You may not think, how much of an impact can that make for the Steelers offensively. I think that's been a big bugaboo for the Steelers for probably the last, 10, 15 years. It seems like ever since Antoine Randall first, between his stints, when he left in free agency after Super Bowl 40 to go to Washington for those 3 years, the Steelers have really struggled to have a consistent kickoff returner in the punt and kickoff area. And Ray Larry McLeod almost broke one last week. Probably should have actually returned for a touchdown. Had the kicker to beat and cut the wrong way, seemingly. But that's been a positive to where the Steelers aren't seemingly having to dig themselves out of a bad field position, which is something that they consistently had to do. Seemingly, it seems like forever that they were always having to put together these 80-yard drives. And now, you're now getting to where, you're getting better starting field position. So I think that's made a positive impact. Matt Canada, coaching wise, has been bought in as the quarterback coach for this year. And you can really see, of course, he kind of made his name at University of Pittsburgh as their offensive coordinator before he went on to a bigger job at LSU. Unfortunately, didn't work out for him there. But you could really see the influence that he's had on the offense, even though he isn't the offensive coordinator. But kind of a lot of the motioning that the Steelers are doing pre-snap is something they really haven't done in the Ben Roethlisberger era. With basically everybody, a lot of different receivers are moving for the snap. They're doing a lot with the jet sweeps, which of course is a big thing in college. Almost every offense in college runs some type of variation of it. I think that's been kind of the positive impact on the offensive side of the ball. Getting Ben Roethlisberger back, he's spreading all around. Nobody's having the big standout year, like I'm saying, but everybody's seemingly contributing.
The Steeler franchise, they move on from two tremendous talents of, Bell and Brown, and now it's kind of like a skill position by committee with what they have at the receiver position and the running back position. And it has worked out pretty well so far, 6-0 so far this season. The one thing I wasn't counting on, I saw that the Steelers were going to have talent this year at those positions, but again, the questions with the quarterback coming into the season, could he stay healthy? Did he have one more good year in him? And so far, I feel like the Steelers are being rewarded by having or keeping the faith with number 7.
But, yeah, definitely. And again, he's been the guy for the last, it's hard to think that, when Ben Roethlisberger was drafted, I was a junior in high school. And now I'm in my mid 30s.
16 years.
We're all getting old. That was, of course, the key thing. Everybody was last year. What would this team be if Ben Roethlisberger was healthy? Because they had just the dominant defense last year that was seemingly just they had to keep the offense in games. They couldn't let, it just seemed like if the Steelers fell behind by anything last year, by a touchdown, it's like, can they overcome this? Because it just seemed like they were so hamstrung in what they could do offensively. But yeah, like you said, by committee is what they're really kind of invested in. It's kind of been a next man up thing on the offensive line. There's been a few key injuries. Zach Banner, who's going to be their starting right tackle this year, goes out in the first game. David DeCastro, their Pro Bowl right guard, he's been injured.
Buckles, you must have a lot. You must have a lot on your mind about the Steelers, because you've gone like at least like 12 straight minutes nonstop.
Yeah. Sorry. I guess I try to talk about, but I didn't even talk about the defense yet. But
I know. You didn't even get to the defense.
The defense, mostly what I expected out of them. It's been, every Steeler defense of my lifetime has made their hay on their outside linebacker play. And the TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, about 11 sacks between them right now. And just seemingly in all the time. I mean, that's been a thing. Anybody that's faced Steelers this year has faced plenty of heat, and it's been all over, not just those two. Cameron Hayward, who they, of course, signed to extension in the offseason. Stephon Tuitt, getting him back. He had the torn pectoral last year that he suffered, caused him to miss the rest of the season last year. He's come back just as strong as ever. Vince Williams, great run stopper, leads the league with tackles for loss. I believe he's at 12 right now. It's just, when they are facing teams, they are putting, you're going to feel it the next day when you face the Steelers. I mean, it seems like they are putting a hurt on teams. I would have hated to have been Baker Mayfield the day after, the Browns played the Steelers. They just seemed to seemed to come into that game wanting to beat him up. And they did pretty thoroughly. I would say my main concern so far, actually is kind of tied to the defense, to where them and the offense are getting it. The offense is getting out to big leads. The defense is, holding teams up in the first half. But then once it kind of gets into the later stages of the game, in the third and fourth quarter, for whatever reason, they're having trouble putting away games where they're up by a couple touchdowns and they're allowing teams to creep back into games. They did it against the Texans, against the Eagles, last week against Tennessee. They were up 20, and you figure 20-point lead in the third quarter with this defense, we're going to be good. And then Tennessee, scores about 17 unanswered. They sneak up and the Steelers need a missed field goal there at the end to just avoid overtime. So that, I think, has been my main concern. It's kind of a bit of a nitpick because they're still, they haven't lost. But if you look at it, they've only won two games by double digits, despite that. One, of course, a big blowout win over Cleveland. And the other one would be the win week one over the Giants. And that only barely qualifies at 10 points. That I wish they did a little better job of,
closing out games.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the rivalry, not overlooking your big game against Baltimore this Sunday, but I'm not going to post this until leading up to the game next week. I'm just recording now because, this is the time that I was given, I guess, but I don't really have much to say about how my team is going right now. If I could sum it up with a short monologue, it would be that, after firing Jason Garrett and, you have a new coach, you have a great draft, and I've been pulled in to the hype of the Dallas Cowboys before, and they pulled me in again during this offseason. I just really thought that they were going to have a different season than they are having right now. And, besides the mounting injuries on the offensive line and with the quarterback, the big disappointment to me is that we have a historically bad defense. You watch the Cleveland Browns team – that played against the Steelers, and you see the Browns team that played against the Cowboys, it's like two different teams.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can't, I mean, I'm not into the whole analytics, the, you know, the Pro Football Focus or whatever, or I don't know. That's kind of a new thing, I guess, but
yeah,
I think they
math was never really my strong point.
Right, yeah. But they ranked the two starting D tackles for the Cowboys, who was Poe, who was cut this week, and Antoine Woods. They were the two lowest rated tackles in football. I mean, running backs just had like a 5-yard gap before they even got touched every play. I mean, it's unreal, and I don't know. I it seems like a problem that's it's too big to be fixed in the season. I mean, you're not they made the roster adjustments, but I don't think they're going to bring anyone in that's going to fix that problem. I think it's good that they got rid of the players that they did, so you know younger players will have an opportunity. But I pretty much have I've given up on the season. Basically, I'm not expecting any much more wins. I don't know. I don't want to. I know that
in that division, you've already given up.
I mean, I know that the NFC East is still up for grabs, but I don't want to see this team in the playoffs. I don't. I'd rather have the top 10, maybe even top 5 pick.
If yeah, we can, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, yeah, let's just say, you know, I mean, the division stumbles along as it is, and maybe the Cowboys, you know, work themselves into a position where they can win the division maybe later in the season. You would much rather they kind of just stay where they're at, get a high draft pick.
Absolutely, because the fifth seed is going to be, you know, some NFC West team, and I don't know. I don't have much confidence in this team. I mean, it doesn't even matter that Dak Prescott is injured. It's just that, you know, I feel like any team can have success against us, and you'll see that on Sunday night. Watch, you know, Carson Wentz is not having a good year right now with the Eagles, but he'll look like a superstar on Sunday night. I guarantee that. I don't know. Something really dramatic would have to change for that to not happen.
Would you give it up on the season? Would that be kind of tied to Dak Prescott's injury?
No.
Was that kind of like the
not at all. I think Andy Dalton. I mean, behind that offensive line, I mean, we're not talking about a second string offensive line. We're talking about third. This is a third string offensive line. I mean, I don't think Roethlisberger could play behind that. I don't think any quarterback could play behind that.
The way he moves now, I mean, it's
yeah.
It's
if you're not mobile at all, I mean, it's just hard to operate an offense. So it doesn't matter if you're Andy Dalton or who's it's going to be Ben DiNucci this Sunday, and then I don't know.
I'm looking proud, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah. So we'll see about that. I wanted to play a game, Buckles, if you don't mind. I wanted to, like, let's, because we, you know, we've gone at each other about the Steelers-Cowboys rivalry, and I know you guys got Baltimore on Sunday, but that's the big game coming up in a week, and let's just hash it out right now between the two franchises of, you know, which one is better. I know you're going to say Pittsburgh, and I'm going to say Dallas, but let's try to break it down real quick and try to individualize certain matchups. So I have a chart here, and we're going to start with head coach. So with the Cowboys, you have Tom Landry, and you have Jimmy Johnson, and that's pretty much it. But, you know, talk about what the Steelers as a franchise have had as coaching is a pretty good record. I mean, they only had they had some coaches like back in the, you know, 60s and 50s, but pretty much Chuck Knoll Then yeah, Tom,
I mean, with Chucknell, I mean, yeah, the three head coaches since 1969.
Right.
That kind of says it all. I mean, it's, and yeah, there's something that can be said for the consistency there, but there's a reason they're consistent. It's because they're winning, because they're all winning coaches. Chucknell, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. I would think if you really look at the Cowboys post, I would say post Barry Switzer, is I would say how the Steelers were pre Chucknell. The team that was always looking for the identity for the head coach. And of course, yeah, the Cowboys have had, you know, they've had, you know, kind of a, you know, one of the great Hall of Fame coaches ever, Bill Parcells, also in that, and kind of that run there. But it always, I would say, if you want to, I'll space it up by the errors here. If you want to have Tom Landry versus Chuck Knoll, I still think Chuck Knoll is underappreciated, as crazy as it may sound, for a Hall of Fame coach, four-time champion coach, to where he doesn't get the plaudits that, say, a Tom Landry, a Bill Walsh, a Bill Belichick gets, because, you know, those guys are all, you know, now kind of renovators, like innovators of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like
Chuck Knoll, maybe he just had the best team.
Yeah. And what Chuck Knoll's kind of mantra was, if you watch any of the specials on the 70s Steelers teams, were do the basics, do them very well. And that's something he drilled into everybody, not just his superstar players, not just his, you know, his roster players. You know, that's where we're going to do the basics. We're going to do them well. There's kind of a very famous story, his first team meeting upon being hired. He comes into the team. He says, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of you guys aren't good enough. You know, you can't run fast enough. You can't jump high enough. You know, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get rid of a lot of you. But those that are, you know, those that will stay, you know, that's what we're going to build off of. And there's, I think six players from his first team in 1969. That went 1-13, and you know, not exactly a great start there, but six players from that team made it to his first Super Bowl team that went on to win Super Bowl IX. But again, he's not regarded as an innovator, but that taking that concept of we're going to do everything basically really well. We're going to get the players into the roles that they can succeed in. And I think that's something that I think, like, Bill Belichick, again, is praised for always finding the right pieces for his team. Right. I don't think that's something that's terribly unique. If you really look at all the great coaches, that's what they've done. They've not only found the great players, but they found the right players to fit into within their system.
And the Cowboys haven't had that since Jimmy, I think. I mean, Parcells was there, but it was kind of at the end of his coaching career, and he really couldn't do what he wanted to do under the watchful eye of the owner / general manager Jerry Jones. I feel like that team, you know, Parcells kind of, you know, discovered Tony Romo, discovered, you know, he put Sean Payton on the map, and that could have really turned into something, and it didn't. And, you know, but Parcells is one of those, you know, you want to say culture changer type coaches.
Yeah, I mean, like having like coach like Bill Parcells, and that I think is one of the big differences between the Steelers and the Cowboys, is Jerry Jones likes being in the forefront, likes having his hands in decisions, and the Rooneys, of course, under Art Rooney before, his son Dan, and now Art Rooney II as kind of the principal, as owners of the team, really kind of keep their hands off.
Right.
They're involved to a certain extent, but they largely let, you know, their personnel department, which is another thing, you know, they stay out of that. So, and they allow their coaches to do what they want to do, largely.
In terms of coaching, even though you know, I love Jimmy, but I think what gives the Steelers the edge over the Cowboys all time is the coach that the Steelers have now. While, you know, the Cowboys are struggling right now under Mike McCarthy, they had Jason Garrett for 10 years and didn't really amount to anything. Meanwhile, the consistency of Mike Tomlin, I mean, it speaks volumes.
Yeah, and that's, again, if you want to take it by errors, I would give Chuck Noll a slight edge over Tom Landry, again, because their two teams face each other. Twice in the Super Bowl, Chuck Knoll's teams come out on top both times. If you want to take Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher, even though, I mean, their errors only kind of slightly kind of coincide with each other, I would give Jimmy Johnson definitely the edge in that part of it.
Yeah, I would too.
He took a team that he basically built from the ground up and made it into an absolute machine there in the early 90s. You know, his first team, similarly to Chuck Knoll's, only won one game his first year. Mm-hmm. But then within 3 years, they're champions. And you look at those early Dallas teams, there's only 90s Dallas teams, you know, not a weak spot anywhere, really. Especially, the offensive line, defensive line, just, you know, and of course the skill positions, you know, everybody knows Aikman, Smith, Irvin. Whereas like the Bill Cowher teams, were always very, very strong defensively, very good run attack, there in his first 10 years, but always had the weight of underachievement, losing the three, title game, the NFC, the conference championships at home, all really super painful losses.
Right.
I would actually even argue that the losses in the championship games were more painful than losing the Super Bowl to Dallas there in Super Bowl 30. That I would say, like, you know, Jimmy, the thing with him, you know, is like him and Jerry just couldn't coexist, because I think Jimmy deservedly wanted the credit for building those teams. Jerry wanted the lion's share of it, which,
he still wants the lion's share. 25 years later, he still wants the lion's share of it. And, it's just a real crappy situation with the Jones family in this last couple decades, I guess, of this fertility.
But what you said there with Mike Tomlin and kind of the current era, when he gets hired, no idea who he even is. because if you remember at the time, a lot of the names being banded, that Russ Grimm, who was the offensive line coach at the time under Cowher, in his last few years of Bill Cowher's coaching tenure, that was the guy that everybody expected was going to get the job. Just, it wasn't going to be a question. And then Mike Tomlin comes along, Tony Dungy disciple, worked his way up with Tampa Bay. Those defensive teams, had like, I believe the defensive coordinator job 1 year in Minnesota. And they had that was the number one rated defense, I believe, for that year. And again, like, I had no idea who he was. And then he comes in, kind of gets the job there. And I would say, really unfairly, people thought, well, they have the Rooney role, which you have to, at least interview a minority candidate, and everybody thinking, well, the Steelers are putting their name on this because they want to look good. And I didn't think it was fair then. I really don't think it's fair now. Tomlin comes in, say second year of the Steelers are champions. And if people were like, well, that was with Cowher's players. Well, again, if you want to make that argument, you have to say that they won equal amount of championships with those players. Bill Cowher won one, Mike Tomlin won one. And then, 2 years later, the Steelers are back in the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, couldn't beat the Green Bay Packers. I will not rant on that.
No.
That's been the number one thing. I mean, the consistency. I mean, like, he still has not had a losing season. He's had a couple 8-8s in there. But more often, I mean, the thing I always expect out of Steelers is I expect them to be contending. I expect them to be in the playoffs. Realistically, you can't win a title every year, but I expect the Steelers to contend for that. And
do you think,
Mike Tomlin?
Do you think as
consistently there?
As a Steelers fan, do you feel like I expect this from my team, or do you have the feeling of, oh, I'm glad I don't have to deal with, you know, being a Cowboys fan or a Browns fan or, you know, a team that's stuck in, you know.
That's the whole thing is, like, there is that weight of expectations where if you're not having that met, but it's also just look around, like, even what's immediately around the Steelers. I mean, you have the Bills to the north, who, you know, almost 20 years without a playoff win. The Browns, everybody knows their struggles that they've had with everything, really, especially head coaches. There is the kind of the whole count your blessings things to it that you don't want to lose perspective on. But at the same time, when the Steelers aren't meeting that, when they, you know, the last 2 years missing out on the playoffs, that's a major disappointment. In 2018, where they just fell apart and asunder, which they seemingly were in good position, and they just could not close the deal there late in the season. And, of course, and they had a big dramatic win over the Patriots. You figure that's what's going to propel them going forward, and it just didn't. And there is those disappointments there. When they don't meet the standards, but I try to keep a healthy amount of perspective. I'm not just picking on Dallas here. I mean,
I'm inviting you to pick on Dallas. This is why we're doing this today.
am I glad Mike McCarthy's not the coach of my team? Yes. there is that whole, you know. It's kind of a balance to where, you know, you have the high expectations, but you also can count that the Steelers, you know, especially in my lifetime, I think there's something where they've had, I think, 5 or 6 losing seasons. I mean, I want to say I'm 34, and in my lifetime, they've had about 5 or 6 losing seasons, and like 4 of them were before I turned 6. I haven't really. I mean, throughout my lifetime, they've been a very, very consistent contending team. So
I'm just waiting. Waiting for this run to end. I thought it was going to end this year, and it's just, I don't know. It's just I think when Ben is gone, maybe that's like the likely scenario where they might struggle. But it just seems like the Steelers always, you know, they draft well. When it comes to the skill positions, and that defense has been consistent for years. I applaud them for that.